Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Sean, for that great introduction. So this is part two. As you know, last week I was supposed to preach, but we had a little situation with the fire alarms. So today, Sean said I could preach for 2 hours, so just get ready. No, I'm just kidding. It actually worked out because I was a little sore last week. As you guys may all know, we went to the marriage retreat, so I was a little sore from dancing, you know, doing my Michael Jackson impersonation, doing the cha-cha slide, and my voice was a little hoarse, but now I feel I'm 100% better. So before we begin, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this time, Father, just to preach your word. Father, please, I pray that all the words that come out of my mouth come from you, that you help me to pray, preach with power, that I will use wisdom, and that the Spirit will work through me and inspire so many people. Father, I just thank you for this time to be able to preach to my family. Father, we love you, and we thank you so much. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. So, the Queen's congressional theme for the year is by faith. Faith is one of the fruits of the Spirit that remain according to 1 Corinthians 13. So it's definitely an area that I want to and need to grow in. As a ministry, we have been working our way through Hebrews 11, which is often referred to as the Hall of Faith. We have talked about the faith of Enoch, the faith of Abel, and today we're going to look at the life and faith of Noah. Please turn your Bibles to Hebrews 11, verse 7.
Come on, Reggie.
So Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. In this passage, Noah, who had found favor in God's sight, was given a warning from God about an upcoming flood. At that point in creation, flooding had never happened, so people had never seen anything like it. By faith, Noah built a great big ark as God instructed him. Noah brought his family, two of every kind of bird, animal, and creature in the world, into the ark with himself. As a result, all who were in the boat were saved from the destruction of the world. The title of today's message is, The Righteous Will Live by Faith. In Hebrews 10, verse 38, it says, But my righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. Noah is a biblical example of a righteous man who lived by faith. By examining the story of his life, we can learn how to grow in righteous, faithful living. And today I have 3 points. The first point, it takes faith to be personally righteous. The second point is it takes faith to answer God's call. And then the final point will be God blesses the righteous. Point one, it takes faith to be personally righteous. Today we primarily focus on Genesis chapters 6 through 9. Please turn with me to Genesis 6. So Noah, whose name means rest or comfort in the Hebrew language, first appears in the scriptures when he is 500 years old. Noah lived during a very corrupt time. At the beginning of Genesis 6, we learn how much wickedness and sin grieves God. In fact, because of the increasing wickedness, the Lord decided to destroy the human race. However, there was one man, Noah, who found favor in God's eyes because of his righteousness. We will pick up the story in Genesis 6, verse 9. So please turn there. It's entitled Noah and the Flood. Verse 9. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a room for it, leaving below the roof an opening 1 cubit high all around. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring flood waters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah was a righteous man. He was blameless in his community, and he faithfully walked with God. It is important to note that he didn't let the corrupt nature of the society that he was in prevent him from doing what was right in God's eyes. Among all the many people alive during his time, he was the only one that God found blameless. Noah's life demonstrates that we won't participate in lifestyles that God considers sinful and wicked, no matter how prevalent they might be in today's society, when we faithfully walk with God. Like Noah, we can obey God's directions and warnings that we find in the Bible, even when the rest of the world refuses to do so. Others failing to fear or worship the Lord doesn't mean that those of us who claim to be Christians can stop living a healthy, holy fear of our Creator. During Noah's time, the human race was living by sight and not by faith. But Noah did not do that. Noah believed in God during the time it took to build the boat. He was righteous and he lived by faith. What can we take from Noah's life is that righteousness pleases God while sin grieves him and causes his heart to be filled with pain. Like every other person besides Jesus, Noah wasn't perfect in righteousness. That is made obvious in Genesis 9, verse 21, where we see Noah getting drunk. Overall, though, Noah lived a righteous, reverent life. And that is a lifestyle that we can all imitate. Amen. It is important to note that Noah believed in God in his daily life. Before the warning, before the flood, Noah believed in and walked with God. While it's essential to believe God and act on the belief when big trials and challenges arise, it's equally important to have faith in our daily lives. Right. I have to constantly remember that it takes faith for me to live a righteous life every day. Yeah. In fact, a few weeks ago, I was having a difficult time personally. I was feeling very weary and very tired. I was relying on my own strength and not relying on God, which led me to have that feeling of blah. Now, that's not an eloquent word, but that's how I felt. I felt blah. From my point of view, I was not being faithful at all. Then I just so happened to receive an email from the love of my life. Of course, my treasure. Thank you, Richard. So I'm going to use that. My treasure. My wife, Kim. She sent me an excerpt from the book by Dr. James Dobson, Straight Talk to Men. I'm going to read part of that email to you now. So it states, what is the straight life, which can also be called the life of faith, for a man in a family? He asks, is it pulling your tired frame out of bed 5 days a week, 50 weeks out of the year? Is it earning a 2-week vacation in August and choosing a trip that would please the kids, which for me could be preteen camp? Is it the straight life? The straight life is spending your money wisely while you rather indulge in a new whatever. It's taking your son bike riding when you want so badly to watch the Knicks lose. It is cleaning out the garage on your day off after working 60 hours the prior week. The straight, faithful life is coping with head colds and engine tune-ups and crabgrass and income tax forms. It is giving a portion of your income to God's work when you already wonder how ends will meet. The straight, faithful life for the ordinary husband and father is everything I have listed and more, much more. Then she says, thanks for living a life of faith. Love you. Yes, beautiful, yes. The email that my wife sent was exactly what I needed at that time. It was good to be reminded that part of living a life of faith is getting up every day and just trying to walk with God. Fighting the good fight, reading my Bible, praying, trying to be a loving father and husband, being a reliable worker, pushing through my selfish nature and thoughts, and not doing any of those things for a pat on the back or for any type of reward, because that is what a straight life, a life of faith, is all about. It may not always be glamorous or exciting, but it is a life I gladly choose in order to be close to God. Knowing that I will fall, but I will get right back up and continue to fight the righteous fight is a personal decision that I make every single day. And I know that many of you do that also. The book that Kim mentioned in her email also talks about moms. Although the roles the author described are traditional, suburban, middle-class stereotypes, I still think there's some value in me sharing it. So I'm going to share the excerpt. The straight life for a homemaker is washing dishes 3 hours a day. It is cleaning sinks and scouring toilets and waxing floors. It is chasing toddlers and mediating fights between preschool children. The straight, faithful life is driving your car to school and back 20 times a week. It is grocery shopping and baking for the class party. The straight life eventually means becoming the parent of an ungrateful teenager, which I assure you is no job for sissies, which I'm about to see. It's difficult to let your adolescent find herself or himself, especially when you know that he isn't even looking. Certainly, the straight, faithful life of a homemaker can be a very, very tired experience at times. In any event, living lives of faith and being personally righteous is relevant for all stages of life. About 2 weeks ago, many of the marrieds in Queens went to a great marriage retreat led by Jeff and Florence Sassinger. It was a great time of fellowship, great time of food, and great time of dancing. However, the most important thing was the inspiring messages that the Sassingers shared. An underlying theme was it takes faith to be a godly spouse. It takes work and faith to be personally righteous in a marriage. I love my wife. She is my best friend. And after making Jesus Lord, the best decision I ever made was to marry her. Amen. However, I am a sinner and I need to work hard to keep that beautiful smile on her face and to build a strong marriage. It takes faith and personal righteousness to have a godly marriage. The retreat also reminded me that it takes faith and righteous and spiritual peer and mentor relationships in order to build strong marriage. So I need people in my life to help me in my marriage. It also takes faith to be a godly parent. Earlier I shared some excerpts from the book about what faith can look like in one type of parenting situation. However, there are many parenting situations. God sees the faith of single parents who in many ways have double the responsibilities yet fight to be godly examples to their children every single day. I would also be negligent if I failed to mention parents who have children with special needs. The faith that is required to be there to support and advocate for your children every single day does not go unnoticed. When you fight to be faithful and righteous, even when you are tired and weary, you will call those of us who are around you even higher. Without a doubt, you are shining lights, and I thank you. There are definitely different challenges to righteous, faithful living at every stage of life. And sometimes those of us who are trying to please God rather than people can get some pushback, some persecution, and some ridicule. I'm briefly going to touch on some of these difficulties, but first I want to show you a clip from the movie Evan Almighty. It's a comical version of the biblical story of the flood and Noah's Ark. Hopefully this clip will be an encouragement to rightly obey God, who's played by the wonderful Morgan Freeman, in the movie, no matter how others respond. So here comes the clip. So sometimes when we try to do the right thing, we can get ridiculed or persecuted. Of course, it won't be as dramatic as this, but still. So when I became a Christian, I was a single man, and it definitely takes faith to be personally righteous as a single person. Living a pure, righteous life in today's society can be ridiculed because people cannot understand it. Today's society, we are bombarded with impure images and pornography. Many can't understand how a single person in New York would not be sleeping around or going out to get drunk or get high on drugs. When we fall short of God's expectations, we are open about our sin and get help from other spiritual brothers or sisters so that we can live a pure life. We know that even faith Hall of Famers like Noah were not perfect, but were still used by God to do great things. Singles who are fighting to stay close to God and resisting worldly temptations in order to live by faith will do great things for God. Righteous, faithful lifestyles are also for campus students. The college years are popularly known as the time when young adults experiment and do wild things like getting drunk, taking drugs, and being promiscuous. However, I know that many of our campus students are trying to be righteous examples to their classmates. They are striving to be like Jesus, to do everything well, from their academics, hopefully academics, yes, and to their personal righteousness. They are living by faith. I look at the teens that are Christians, and I'm amazed. I wasn't mature enough as a teen to make the decision to make Jesus the Lord and shock call of my life. But these teens are. They don't give in to the desire to fit in with the crowds by succumbing to peer pressure. Rather, they stand out in a godly way because of their decision to live righteously. In this room, we have so many people of great faith. Your names may not be written in the Bible, but your examples of faith inspire those of us who know you. My second point, it takes faith to answer God's call. Please turn with me to Genesis 6, verse 22. Again, Genesis 6, verse 22. And then we're going to read chapter 7. So, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. The Lord then said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I found you righteous in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of every kind of clean animal, a male and his mate, and 1 pair of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate. And also 7 pairs of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made." And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters came on the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Pairs of clean and unclean animals, of birds and of all creatures that move around the ground, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark as God had commanded Noah. And after the 7 days, the flood waters came on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the 2nd month, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heavens were opened. And rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very day Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of his 3 sons, entered the ark. They had with them every wild animal according to its kind, all livestock according to their kinds, every creature that moves around the ground according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, everything with wings. Pairs of all creatures that have the breath of life in them came to Noah and to the ark. The animals going in were male and female of every living thing, as God commanded Noah. Then the Lord shut him in. For 40 days the flood kept coming on the earth, and as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 15 cubits. Every living thing that moved on the land perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swam over the earth, and all mankind. Everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. People and animals and the creatures that move around the ground and the birds were wiped from the earth. Only Noah's left and those with him in the ark. The waters flooded the earth for 150 days. Wow. God gave Noah a strange and seemingly impossible task. He was called to build an ark in order to save his life, the lives of his family members, and a variety of animals. The greatness of this assigned task is hardly to fully appreciate or imagine. The Bible doesn't really reveal how Noah's family or community responded to him building the ark, so we are left to use our imagination. We don't know, but I can imagine that Noah's wife may have had an unbelievable response, as Evan's wife will in this clip we're about to show. So here we see Evan talking to his wife about building the ark. And again, he answers the call from God to build the ark, even when it wasn't easy. It took faith for him to do this when his wife didn't believe him. Since Noah is the only one whom God found righteous in his generation, we do know that faithless family and friends surrounded him. Did they laugh at him? We don't know. We do know that there is no mention of anyone helping Noah build the ark. God's call to build the ark was one that Noah was forced to answer alone, and he did. He faithfully worked on the ark doing everything just as God commanded him, until he finished his task. He didn't allow society nor the magnitude of the work that he was called on to perform to deter him from doing what God wanted him to do. When God called him to build an ark, Noah didn't question him. Noah didn't ask why he should be the one to make the ark, how the ark would make it through such a great storm, or how he was supposed to get all the creatures on the ark. Noah did not try to use his own wisdom to figure out the best way to save himself and his family. Rather, he just followed God's instructions. In faith, he believed that God would work out all of the specific details. Noah focused on building the ark to save his family and himself as part of the covenant agreement that God made with him. Noah trusted that God would do his part, and he did. When it comes to answering God's call to our lives, we can look to Noah as a perfect example. Despite the circumstances, we can show our faith by what we do. Also, we don't have to wait until we understand every single detail before we faithfully act. For instance, I think of a time in my life when God was calling me to do something that I wasn't initially excited about. Of course, it wasn't as big as building an ark, but still it required me to step out on faith. As many of you know, what Sean also said, about a year and a half ago, my family and I moved church homes when we moved from the Madden ministry to the Queens ministry. The move was very difficult for me and Kim because we were both in Manhattan church for such a long time. We had many great relationships there, enjoyed serving various parts of the ministry, and overall really enjoyed our time over there. However, I needed to think about what my family needed spiritually in the long term. Although Kim and I love the singles ministry in Manhattan and in Queens too, just to let you know, our two sons needed a more family-oriented ministry with children their own age that live near them in Queens, so they could start building relationships as they approach their tween and teen years. My wife needed to be in a ministry that was closer to home so that she would not be traveling so far and getting home so late. I had to think about what was best for the entire family spiritually. It was a tough decision that we needed to faithfully make with a lot of prayer and a lot of advice because we did not know what was best. God's call ended up for us to be in the Queen's ministry, which we are thankful for. As an added bonus, being a part of this ministry has given me the opportunity to be closer to my dad, and he even visits church from time to time. Like I said, my call was not as huge as Noah's, but I still had to reach out on faith. Most of God's calls are not, but it still takes faith in God's character and promises for all of us to answer God's call. God called Noah to build an ark to save his family. God moved me to Queens for my family's spiritual growth. I believe that God is calling all of us to do something. What is God calling you to do right now? Is it calling you to go deeper in your prayer life or Bible study? Is he calling you to be more loving and vulnerable in your one another relationships? Is he calling you to be more active in sharing your faith? Is there a particular fruit of the Spirit he's calling you to grow in? Is he calling you to grow in your marriage? Is he calling you to grow in your parenting? Is he calling you to grow in your academic studies and your work ethic? If you are studying the Bible, is God calling you to put in practice what you have learned? Whatever it is that God is calling you to do today, he gives us a choice. We can either answer the call or we can ignore it. We can either be faithful and obedient like Noah, or we can be faithless and disobedient. I choose faith because as the angel Gabriel told Mary in Luke 1, verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. My third and final point is that God blesses the righteous. Please turn to Genesis 9. Genesis 9. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall on all the beasts of the earth and on all the birds in the sky, on every creature that moves along the ground, and on all the fish in the sea. They are given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves about will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. But you must not eat meat that has its lifeblood still in it. And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal. And from each human being, too, I will demand an accounting for the life of another human being. Whoever sheds human blood, by human shall their blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made mankind. As for you, be fruitful and increase in number. Multiply on the earth and increase upon it. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. So I'm going to stop there. Noah was blessed in many ways because of his righteous, faithful life. Most importantly, Noah and his family were saved. Out of all the many people who were alive during the time, Noah was the only one who found favor in the eyes of the Lord because of his righteous life. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, in the New Living Translation, you don't have to turn there, it says, and God did not spare the ancient world except for Noah and the seven others in his family. Noah warned the world of God's righteous judgment. So God protected Noah when he destroyed the world of ungodly people with a vast flood. This passage says that Noah warned the people of his time about God's plan for judgment. Sadly, the people of the world were corrupt and violent, that they did not listen to his warning. By not listening to God's word given through Noah, that generation condemned themselves and was destroyed by God. It's important to note that God also calls us as Christians to live righteous lives and speak the truth of his word to others. Some will accept the truth, like Noah's family who escaped the waters of the flood. Others will not. This is between them and God. Rather, we need to be comforted by the fact that God will protect us as we live out 1 Timothy 4, verse 16, which states, "Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." God also established a covenant between Noah and himself, as well as blessing Noah and his sons, by saying that they will be fruitful and increase in number. I'm not going to go too deep into how God blesses the righteous, because God blesses each person differently.
That's right.
I will say, though, that God is faithful, and his blessings include every spiritual blessing in Christ, according to Ephesians 1, verse 3. In the last clip we're going to see today, we're going to see how God blessed Evan. So God blesses righteous in various ways. When I think of my life, I think about how God has blessed my family's move to the Queen's Ministry. Kim and I have begun to build spiritual friendships here in the Queen's Ministry. Our boys are starting to build friendships here in the ministry with children their own ages. God has blessed us with people like Robin and Sean, who mentor us as well as people that we mentor. God has given us an opportunity to build something for his glory in this area where we live and where our kids go to school and near where my dad lives. God has definitely blessed our decision to step out on faith and be part of the church, Queen's Church family. As we wrap up today's message, let us remember Noah's faith. By faith, Noah lived a righteous life. By faith, Noah obediently answered God's call to build an ark. He was righteous and lived by faith. Because of his righteous faith, God kept Noah and his family alive when everyone else perished in the flood. I pray that like Noah, God will find us righteous in his generation. I pray that we will have the faith to be obedient to God's call in our lives. I pray that we be righteous men and women who live by faith and for the glory of God. I pray that we believe and act on God's warnings in his word. Whether you have already made the decision to make Jesus Lord of your life or are visiting church today with a friend, I urge you to be obedient to God's words. If you have questions about God or his expectations for righteous, faithful living in today's society, talk to the person who invited you.
Right.
I'm pretty confident that they would love to teach you more about God and the church by studying the Bible together. In many ways, God's church is like a modern-day ark. By biblical definition, the church is not a building. Rather, it is a gathering of people for a specific reason. In his word, God calls the church the body of Christ and members of God's household. For those who want a righteous relationship with God, the church, like Noah's ark, can be used to help save others and to save us. And speaking of church, I just want to remind you, I know Robin said this, that I want to invite all the women who are visiting today to enjoy a special Women's Midweek service this upcoming Wednesday in the honor of the International Church of Christ Sisters Day themed Be Bold. There will also be a day of prayer and fasting on Tuesday. Please ask whoever invited you today for more details of these two events. I want to leave you with one quote from Martin Luther King Jr. Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Let us take the first step of faith wherever it may be. Amen. Thank you, everyone.